This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where can I find a DVD on success?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi. If you are new to Technorama, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. Either way, we appreciate you giving us your time. I say us because normally my co-host, Craig Stepp, joins me, but he was unable to make it for this special interview. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Stephen Covey, probably best known for his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He's also known for his books, First Things First, and more recently, The 8th Habit, which I just found out about and is at the top of my reading list. I suspect it will appeal to many of the knowledge workers who listen to Technorama. His latest project is a DVD titled The Quest for Success, where international luminaries, visionaries, and entrepreneurs talk about their own experiences to achieving true success with significance. It is my honor to have with me Dr. Stephen Covey. Welcome to Technorama, Dr. Covey.
Well, good morning, and nice to talk with you.
Now, your book, The 7 Habits, has sold more than 20 million copies in 38 languages worldwide. You must get all kinds of questions. What is, if you could nail it down, what is the most common question you get?
I think it deals with how much real personal freedom we have. I just finished visiting a prison where I saw the inmates actually teaching this material to each other, and I was amazed at how sincere they were and what lack of cynicism there was, and they accepted responsibility for the choices of their own lifestyle and the consequences of that choice. And it was, and there's 800 that have been trained, and so far they haven't had one person return to prison. Recidivism, to our knowledge, at least in that Colorado state, they may have been returned to other prisons in other states. We're checking that out right now, but it's just fascinating. And the governor, he is one that wants to not build more prisons, so he's trying to cut recidivism. That means those who return to prison. So he was thrilled when I talked with him about of 800 people, about 400 have been released and not one has come back, because they take responsibility for their lives.
That is very important. You talk about choices and consequences. I must repeat that daily to my children, and have to remind myself on a regular basis that that's really the core of you know, your decisions and the actions that come about is really core to you know, making life happen.
Yeah, it's the most fundamental thing there is, to realize that between anything that happens to you or has ever happened to you and your response is your power of choice, and that those choices will pretty much govern your growth and your happiness.
Now, a friend of mine, Steve Holden, asked a proxy question. He's a huge fan, as I suspect many of our listeners are. Related to sharpening the saw, what are some practical lessons learned that others might consider incorporating into, say, a quarterly review to make sure they're growing in public victory areas like think win-win and seek first to understand, then be understood?
Well, I think that there are four dimensions to our life: our body, our mind, our heart, and our spirit. And those four dimensions all have to be renewed on a consistent, regular basis. Our body through exercise and proper eating and rest, our mind through constantly learning, growing, disciplining ourselves in educative way.
Mm-hmm.
Then our heart through the quality of our relationships with others, so that we're constantly making deposits into the emotional bank account. Then our spirit by living with integrity to our conscience, and then being of service to others, to realize that life is not about me and mine, it's about thee and thine. So, in fact, our family mission statement basically focuses on we serve God by serving others. So constantly renewing those four dimensions to me is the most fundamental thing. If you neglect one of the four, it will have a negative domino effect upon the other three. What happens to most people is that the spiritual DNA that is deeply within us is covered over by a cultural DNA. They grow up in a comparison-based culture where their sense of self comes from how other people define them and how well they stack up to other people. But if people will constantly renew himself in these four ways on a daily basis, they will restore the spiritual DNA of their true nature.
I like that, spiritual DNA. That's awesome. Now, your latest project, your DVD, The Quest for Success, includes such name as His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Sir Richard Branson, Russell Simmons, Desmond Tutu, and many other. Can we start by defining success? How would you define that?
I would say there's two kinds of success. Secondary success has to do with being rich and famous and getting recognition for your achievements and so forth. Primary success comes from character and contribution. And the cultural DNA teaches the secondary success, but true success, spiritual DNA, is basically your character, whether or not you are obedient to your conscience and live with total integrity, and also the contributions that you make in society and through your family, with your family, in your neighborhood, and so forth, so that your life is basically receives its your joy through service to others.
Now, I know the answer to this already, but I have to ask, do you consider yourself successful?
Well, I'm constantly striving to make a difference and to live with integrity. So I try to live for primary success. Some people have both. But they're relatively few. And I also think that when you are constantly striving for primary success, you don't focus on you. It's not about you. It's about your service.
It sounds very similar to what you mentioned in Seven Habits about first we have dependence, then independence, and then interdependence, and that interdependence sounds like it feeds directly into this success. The more you are contributing to that interdependence, the more successful you are in this primary success.
Because you develop complementary teams where your strengths are made productive and your weaknesses are made irrelevant to the strengths of others. And many entrepreneurs sometimes try to wear too many hats and don't know their weaknesses and don't take steps to compensate for them through the strengths of other people. And the research shows that the best thing to do is to run with your strengths and not necessarily try to just overcome all of your weaknesses and to do everything. This takes a lot of humility and takes a lot of courage, too. And marriage is a good illustration of a complementary team.
How do you know, how would a person like me know when they've attained true primary success?
I think that your conscience gives you peace of conscience, and that's greater than peace of mind. Peace of mind means you paid off your bills. A peace of conscience means that you have lived true to your conscience, and your conscience is kind of a divine small voice that tells you what is right and gives you a sense of doing, living with integrity. Integrity means you're integrated around principles.
Mm-hmm.
And until people really achieve that kind of integrity, I think they only go for secondary success. They think it's primary, but it really isn't.
If we are what we think, what should we be thinking about in order to be more successful?
Contribution, service, integrity, so that you educate and obey your conscience. The way I do it is I prayerfully ponder the scriptures every day and then try to let my conscience be impregnated with those scriptures. And other people will study the great literature that inspires them. But, or to get into nature and to meditate or something. But our conscience is the voice of God to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you obey it, the more guidance you receive from it. And that's the true source of security. If you have that kind of internal security, you can afford to practice win-win when push comes to shove. You can listen first to understand other people before seeking to be understood. And you can go for third alternatives through synergistic communication, which means that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. It's like parents that value the differences and create a child. And that child is the most bonding thing that is between them. And they live for that child, and they want to nurture its growth and development.
So, who inspired you to be successful?
Well, I think in terms of primary success, I look to Jesus Christ. He's my model and mentor, and I think he's the perfect person that lives like I'm talking about, and so that's why I enjoy that very much. I've also been inspired by people like Viktor Frankl, who in the death camps of Nazi Germany learned the space between stimulus and response and
mm-hmm.
chose to listen by to his conscience. And that's what saved him in his death camps, because he was willing to almost commit suicide. He witnessed the suicides of some of his loved ones, and but for some reason they saved him for experimental purposes, and that's when he discovered this power of choice that lies between whatever happens to us and our response to it. In fact, we're working on a project now to build a statue of responsibility, which was a vision of Viktor Frankl, on the west coast outside the Puget Sound area up by Seattle, the same scope and size as the Statue of Liberty on the east coast.
Hmm. Now, one message in The Quest for Success is about being a hero in your own life. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I think it basically means that you try to be an example and a model for other people, and particularly for your children and grandchildren, and that you work inside your own circle of influence and not get your head into victimism or cynicism or comparing or competing or complaining. These are metastasizing emotional cancers that weaken your fiber and your integrity and cause you to go for secondary success,
mm-hmm.
which means making money and getting recognition and showing your toys.
Now, what is the one legacy you want future generations to remember about Dr. Stephen Covey?
I would say family, by far. No other success can compensate for failure in the home. It is the most important work we'll ever do is in the four walls of our own home. So that's why we focus on living by the mission statement. We've developed the mission statement that we serve God by serving others. So we organize our family into committees of service. And we do all kinds of different service, and the little grandchildren grow up with an awareness And that's what life is. It's service. It isn't always pleasurable because it involves sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what brings you joy and what contributes to other people and to the community. So I'd like to be known mostly through family and our children and our grandchildren. We just had our 50th grandchild.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, we're really thrilled about this little girl named after my wife, Sandra.
That's terrific.
Well, if they can make contributions, that to me is what really matters. That's why we organize our family around committees, and we have regular family meetings all the time to talk about what we're doing, and those who are away join us on the phone.
Wow, there's some really good things to that we could take away from that.
I appreciate this little DVD and also the website. I think they tried to put Quest for Success, but they couldn't get that. So they called it questforwealth.org.
Well, you've also recently launched the Stephen Covey community on your website, stephencovey.com. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Learning community where people can literally get to know each other and share what they're trying to accomplish, because it deals with a lot of fundamental teaching like we're talking about right now, and how to restore your spiritual DNA and so forth. And it's a place where people can ask questions and get responses to those questions. But and they also account to each other. So it's not just talking only to yourself.
I just signed up this morning, so I'm really eager to get involved with that. It looks like a great place. Thank you, Dr. Covey, for taking time to speak with me today. It has been an honor. Best of luck with the quest for success, and I look forward to speaking with you again sometime soon.
I hope so, Jack. Thanks so much.
Take care. If you're looking for more information on the quest for success, you can find it at questthejourney.com/quest for success with a capital Q and a capital S. I'll have a link in the show notes on the website at chuckchat.com/technorama. Once again, I would like to thank Dr. Stephen Covey for spending time with me today. It certainly has been a real treat. I also thank you for listening to Technorama. If you want to hear more interviews or audio tours we've done, stop over at chuckchat.com/technorama and have a look. We invite you to stop by. We also invite you to drop us an email and let us know what you think. technorama@chuckchat.com, or leave us an audio message on the listener line at 206-222-2428, 206-222-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great audio content available from Farpoint Media. You can find them at farpointmedia.net. That's all for this time. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, a binary high five. 101.